I'm legitimately thinking about it. All right, let's start.
Optional
system. No, talk into the microphone.
Oh, we're starting?
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is just a teaser. Let's do a teaser, and we're going to play a song. What are we going to talk about more? It's in my apartment. This whole thing, I got to keep you updated on whatever
happened. I was here the first day, and...
The first Skeptic Tank from the new Skeptic Tank Studios. You were here.
I was here before you were.
You know what I'm going to play? Let's play some... what's that song, that guy, the old guy who used to be married to the supermodel, and then he sang that song in either Rushmore or one of those other soundtracks, If I Wish I Knew Then What I Know Now.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I was younger. Who's that?
The guy who sounds like Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart.
Is it Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Rod Stewart. Then we come right back.
I thought you were talking about Lyle Lovett.
What? That's not never... What are you talking about? Rod Stewart. So love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger, the can such a pretty show. No, we're already going now. We're back. Norm McDonald said what? Norm McDonald said what?
That was the perfect joke. I threw in. I saw Lyle Lovett, not on purpose. He was with Willie Nelson this summer, and I was pretty impressed. I didn't think I would enjoy his.
He was married to Julia Roberts for a while, right? Wow.
And that's what Norm McDonald said. That's the perfect joke. Is when the setup is the same as the punchline.
What do you mean?
So he said Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett are getting divorced. The reason he's Lyle Lovett and she's Julia Roberts. Right. Like, that's the joke. There's nothing extra.
Yeah, it's like, this is all it is. That's funny. Hey, I gotta do a sponsor real quick.
Okay.
But you can do it with me.
Who is it?
It's squarespace.com. Have you heard of it?
Squarespace. Yeah. To build websites?
To build websites. Oh, that's exactly awesome. What it is. It's squarespace.com. And if there's an offer code Skeptic, you get 10% off and like a free
Skeptic,
domain name.
Like Skeptic.
Man, Paul, you're a goddamn professional. Yes. Yes. Just that way, Skeptic. But I don't know. You have a website, right? Oh, you go to Vay Jane.
PaulHasAWebsite.com.
PaulHasAWebsite.com. Nick Youssef built his on Squarespace.
Yeah.
It's super easy. They have like 20 different designs. So if anything happens to Vay Jane, if she were to die in a nuclear attack or in one of the terrorist attacks they keep claiming is going to happen again. To scare us into giving up our personal freedoms. If that happens, then if I would go to squarespace.com, and you can choose from 20 different platforms, and they have customer service.
I'm preparing for the end of my career because my website's Paul Has a Website, and I also bought Paul Had a Website. So I'll build that.
And then just have it under construction?
Just so I can look back.
Yeah, that'd be good.
When I used to be in
We'll do
show
it on
business.
Squarespace.com.
Squarespace.
And offer code Skeptic. And they have a new thing for the customer service, which is 24/7. They have 70 people on the customer service line that you won't need, by the way. It's super easy. It's drag and drop. The whole thing is drag and drop.
You just get to know them, probably.
Yeah, but they call their customer service department the Care Bear Lair.
Okay.
No, that's fucking retarded. I don't even like to use that word. I shouldn't
say
the word retarded.
They don't say that. That's like such an old reference.
I don't even know. But yeah, I don't know.
Are Care Bears still a thing?
I guess so. I used to tell my sister to go to sleep. When she couldn't sleep, I was like, well, think about the Care Bears doing something fun.
Aw, that was when you were innocent.
Probably like 12, 13.
Yeah. Did you steal her money when she fell asleep?
Yeah. One quarter at a time. Gave her nightmares.
Just slowly poisoned her.
Anyway, squarespace.com/skeptic. But yeah, slowly poisoned her. I guess we can just transition right out of it. Do you ever talk to Norm?
Norm, yeah. One night I went to the Improv. Actually, it was the same night I met Adam Egit.
Yeah.
He was still a manager at the Tempe Improv. And
yeah,
like,
you're basically good friends with him. That's where I met him at Tempe Improv.
And he came. So those guys came to Irvine. I went to Irvine. And I ended up talking to Norm. And he did a bunch of like card. I guess he can count cards.
Really?
So like you can go.
He's a gambler.
You can go take one. He had me take a card out, and then he could go through the whole deck face up and like tell which card was missing.
Just real
going
quick?
Through it once. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
And so, and he just started talking about math, and then he told two hours of
math.
Yeah, he's like, and I never know if this stuff is true either. Like he. He said he dropped out of high school in ninth grade.
For real?
I don't know.
Oh, but that's Canadian ninth grade. That's like our senior year of college.
Do you notice every famous, like Jim Carrey, Michael J. Fox, and Norm MacDonald all like didn't go to high school in Canada?
High school?
I think they all dropped out in like ninth grade.
Wow.
I mean, you can't. Can you really get through life without doing that anymore?
Without going to high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what do you need it? You already know how to learn, how to read.
But social skills. You've seen the guys that are homeschooled.
But they've all been pretty cool.
I mean, if you're in show business,
the ones
different.
I knew from college were all pretty cool, the homeschooled ones.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, it's not... I mean, you think, oh, you're not socialized, but they make sure to play, make them play with friends. Well, that brings us full circle.
Oh, my goodness.
That brings us full circle, indeed.
Is that somebody at the door?
No, it's not someone at the door. That was my next-door neighbor. We were talking at a normal volume at 6:17 p.m.
And I just stopped in from...
It's funny. She did it on cue. Did it on cue as we're talking about it.
I'm heading...
Shut up! We're talking normally!
I was here the first night that happened, too.
Yeah, that first day.
That very first day. They want you gone.
They want me gone.
This is like the most anti-Semitic building I've ever...
It might be that. Well, luckily, those aren't going to be picked up on the podcast, so we don't have to worry about it. I'll just hear those a little bit. Why did she... I don't understand. Like, what are you supposed to do besides talking?
I don't either.
Well, so you were here the first day that I moved in here.
The very first knock.
Yeah, the very first knock. We were doing it in there with nothing was in that bedroom.
Did she buy gloves, or is she still doing that, like, bare knuckle?
I think bare knuckles still. Yeah, I did tell her one time that I put, because she was complaining about the doors closing too hard when I come home at night.
All the doors are open. You're being very...
No, they're all closed. Stop it. Don't lie. So I put dampeners on there. I took little felt pads. Somebody on Twitter suggested it.
Oh, yeah.
So I put it on the inside, the door jamb, and on the door to dampen it. And then I saw her once. There was a package that came for both, like, two packages. Mm-hmm. So I saw her at the door. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, I put these dampeners on the door, you know, so hopefully it won't be, you know, a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and just goes back inside. I was like, all right, well, thank you.
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah. You lived in New York, didn't you?
Yeah.
Where'd you live?
I lived in Jamaica, Queens.
Oh.
Yeah. It was rough.
Oh.
But my house was, I lived with two other comics in a house full of, it was a family of 18 Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
So if you paid your rent on time, it was the safest place in New York City. Like,
why? Because they wouldn't let anybody happen to you.
Well, yeah, it's their whole family in this house. And literally, like, I remember we were like the top floor at one point.
Yeah.
And then they built like another apartment on top of us, like in the attic. And then I think they built like, they turned like some other storage space into an apartment. So there's like two extra apartments by the time we got out of there, because it was like a big three-floor house, and they just had more and more family members move in.
Really?
So, yeah.
Did it ever bother you? They were like, hey, guys, it's getting kind of overcrowded.
I mean, I was teaching school, going to grad school, doing stand-up. I was never there. So it was and I was spending like 2 hours a day on the subway. So it was like, you know, I just came there to sleep like from 2 to 6 in the morning. That was it. So,
So it didn't matter
and
at
I
all.
Kept my car there. That was it.
Well, I had these problems with my, because she started getting mad at me early on, the landlady.
Right.
Miss Torres or Miss something.
The landlady the neighbor? Okay.
The landlady. No. Okay. Early on. Because I put my stuff outside, all my boxes I put outside by the garbage. Garbage here is way different. You were the first one to point it out to me.
Oh, with the bags and stuff?
Yeah. Bags. There's no place to put the garbage. There's no alleyways.
Yeah.
So you have to put it out front. So there's just bags of garbage on the streets.
Yeah.
And in the summer, they start rustling.
Uh-huh.
And that means there's rats inside.
Oh. There's something.
It might just scoot out at any moment. Yeah. So anyway, there's places in front of apartment buildings where you put the garbage. And there's a recycle on one side and garbage on the other. So I just put all my boxes out by the recycle. And they came in the next day. Like, what is this? What is all these boxes out here? I'm like, they're mine. I put them out there for the recycle. And like, no, you didn't read the signs. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. So you have to break them down, all the boxes, and then put them, like, tie them up somehow, and then put them in clear wrapper, and then put them out there. Which, I guess everyone in the city does that. But she goes, if you don't do that, I get fined $1,000. I was like, oh, I don't want you to do that at all.
Yeah,
she goes, yeah, well, I'll make you pay for it. I was like, well, like I said, I don't want you to do that at all. I'm not trying to be rude, so don't worry, I'll go get them right now. You don't have to threaten me.
I'll
go get them. Don't worry. And I did, and I cut them. I put them in there. Fine. And then every time I'm moving shit in, she's like, who left this door open? I'm like, me. I'm in and out. I'm coming in and out. I still have stuff outside. I just realized recently she's got a camera up there in the hallway.
Yeah.
So she sits and watches it. That's why he's like, every time I prop the door open, within 60 seconds, she's down there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about the stuff out back?
Oh, you mean the garbage area out back? Yeah.
Nobody keeps track of that.
Yeah. I don't understand with her next door, too. It's like there's construction going on outside.
Yeah.
There's construction going on.
Just someone to blame.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's why you're lucky you have this park on the other side.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Show your penis to all the kids.
There's never been. It's not that kind of park. Just a sitting and eating park.
Wait, so what are you saying about New York now? Is this wearing you down, or what's the experience been so far?
I mean, it's
clearly
a very... Well, no, it's just, that's just, I would expect that. She's like, I can hear you when you go back and forth to your bathroom. And I was like, well, I'm barefoot at night, not talking.
Mm-hmm.
I, there's nothing else I can do.
Right, right.
I can't. At some point, I was listening to all those Swiss festival submissions on a 3 of 16 on my computer.
Right.
And so, by the way, right, there's no introduction. This is the podcast.
Okay.
I'm with Paul Morrissey. Oh, I forgot. If I'm not doing an introduction, I should say who I'm with.
Yeah, I just got here. Sorry I was late.
Yeah, you're supposed to sit on Punch Drunk.
Doing the Artie Lang show tonight.
Tonight. I'm going to go watch the Attell taping.
And then you're going to do the Attell.
I'm doing it tomorrow. If anybody wants to come, if any of my fans want to come.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a website. Let me find what the website
Paul
is.
PaulHasAWebsite.com?
That's a different one. Paul Has a Website's a very good one, but that's a different one completely.
Is this your umbrella?
Yeah, it's a girl's one. It was available once. I was with a girl. I was like, I'll use it again. I don't care. I've lost my other ones. No, I still have one, actually. Here's the website. www.theblacklistnyc.com/AttellCC. AttellCC. And then put down that you heard about it from a comedian's Facebook or Twitter, and then make sure you get tickets. It's 10 p.m. on Wednesday, but you'll probably be not here.
This is your first TV appearance that I've missed, I think.
That you've missed?
Yeah, I was here for your special. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. You were backstage. It was
storytelling, the second one anyway.
With Jeff Dye.
Yeah,
later hooked up with one of us.
I knew it. I
couldn't believe it.
Yeah, are you allowed to say that? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he was flying to Mexico that day.
That day, so he went back the next day. Or when he got back from Mexico.
Yeah.
Jeff Dye is on another.
I'm writing all this stuff down, by the way, but just so people know, we're at a strip joint where women get flirted with by everyone.
Everyone.
And I saw literally somebody from your show performing on a TV show that said, hey, I don't know where my drink ticket is. And the lady was just like, yeah, you gotta have it. And then... it wasn't overly rude, but just like, yeah, you should ask the producer for the ticket. Jeff Dye comes over. He's like, I don't know if I have any tickets. They're like, oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, that was
like,
you asking for the drink?
No, it wasn't me. It was
somebody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jeff Dye, though.
No, no.
Oh, and then he comes over and makes
somebody else that was doing the show. Like, that had just been on stage.
Like, clearly, we had all just seen him. I'm a comic. You saw me.
Filming a TV show.
Yeah.
And they're literally like talking to him so loud that someone has to tell the girls to stop.
Oh yeah,
talking to him.
Like, guys, we're taping. I know he's beautiful. I know. I get it. He's beautiful. But you got to be quiet for a second. Yeah. What was he saying about Jeff Dye?
It's just hilarious. Well, you just said that. So he got lucky with one of them or all?
Oh,
of them?
I don't know. He just went out with one of them later. He just found him and went out with him. But anyway, Paul Morrissey, you're here, comedian. Which episode of my podcast were you on before?
I don't know what number it was. We're talking basketball, I think the one was. And then...
Yeah, definitely that.
And then you got high and Googled the Holocaust, so we started talking about religion for an hour.
Oh, yeah, we split it up. That was the first one I split up, like, thematically.
Yeah.
That was fun in my old place.
Is that still there, that place?
Okay, I just steamed the shirt. Sorry.
This is...
I know. I just left you lurching for a second. Okay, so...
Ari just went to the bathroom to turn the hot water on to unwrinkle his shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to get a long enough cord, but his 12 feet wasn't long enough. This is a decent apartment, besides the banging and the harassment from the landlady.
And I remember I was here when the bed got delivered. It got that in here.
Yeah.
And then I was here for your saddest moment, because you've been pretty happy. But remember we went to Kmart, and we bought a teapot and a couple other things.
Oh, yeah.
And then we walked the whole way with a bunch of bags. We went to like 9 different stores. Remember your first night? You're all excited to get stuff for
the apartment. Yeah, we had your car. We were just buying stuff. What else do I need?
Teapot. And then we got all the shit all the way back here. And then you took the teapot, like the it's a glass teapot. Beautiful. Took the lid off, and then it just fucking shattered.
The whole thing just shattered. He put it on the heater or anything. He was like, oh, where's this top shatter? What? Yeah, worst purchase. It made it all the way home.
Yeah, it's like, are we going to go all the way back for that? No, that's just lost money.
Yeah, it's just gone. I bought this thing for like $12. It's broke.
It's gone.
It's because it's your fault, though, not because I didn't drop it.
Exactly.
I take my word on that, I guess. Yeah.
And then we're going to Switzerland, not tomorrow, but the day after. So you got a huge week. Yeah.
I'm going on Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm going on Friday. Yeah, because I got to finish the hotel thing. And then I guess the wrap party is on Thursday or whatever. I didn't know when I was filming. So they're flying me on Friday afternoon. So I'm getting there Saturday morning doing Montreux.
Yeah,
and I'm meeting my brother for 3 days. What are you going to do for 3 days?
We're still figuring this out, man. We just got our flights. We're going to Amsterdam, too. We haven't quite figured everything out there either.
So you said the tickets are $50, though, from like Geneva or Switzerland.
Yeah, just the flight stuff. Because I wanted to take the train. I just watched Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. So I was like, I want to go through all these German places and see the shady people on the train.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know. I thought it'd be cool. You know, romanticized it.
No, I just took it from here to Boston. It's great.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You take the drugs with you?
But it's like $200 to do Montreux to Amsterdam. And it's $50 to take one of those like super cheap airlines from there.
From Montreux? No, from Geneva.
Geneva. But,
yeah,
we
but
can
they'll
get
take
to
you to
Geneva.
Yeah. There'll be a shuttle there.
So we're going to an all French speaking festival, and we're their first.
You missed it.
Oh.
This eye, what is it called? Apple TV?
Mm-hmm.
So it pulls on the screensaver. It pulls up there from all your pictures.
Yeah.
So whatever pictures I take go up there.
Yeah.
There's this dick shot that keeps coming up.
Oh, yeah. It came up like 3 times when I was sitting there.
It's going to be annoying when I ask me over here. It's just a dick shot, me holding it. Like somebody clearly wanted something. I got to figure out how to get rid of that because I don't need that. Anything else is fine.
That got in the system. It's in the network now.
Yeah, a picture of my 1099 that I was doing for something. That's okay. I don't mind that in there. That's not embarrassing.
Social Security. Fish.
Yeah.
So what are you feeling about this? Because this is probably your biggest TV appearance, right? This is for cable.
Honestly, a part of me feels, on Comedy Central, part of me feels like everything else I've gotten.
Yeah.
Like when I became a paid regular at the Comedy Store, you know how I did it? Did I ever tell you that story?
No, you waited 6 years?
I waited a long time. I had 36 showcases.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was 0-34-2. And then on my 37th, I got made a non-paid regular 2 times. The second time she made me a non-paid regular, which means you can go up in the belly room. I don't think it exists anymore. She said, oh, you're good, kiddo. I'm ready for you. I'm like, huh? She goes, you're a non-paid regular. And I was like, I was already that.
I think everybody's a non-paid regular.
Right, we're just not getting paid.
You can come here anytime you want, and you won't get paid.
It was a weird distinction. Anyway, so then me and Simone and Renazisi got in trouble once, because we all went to open for Pauly in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
None of us are paid regulars.
Uh-huh.
Did I tell you this?
I think I heard this story, but...
Yeah, we all went down there, and it was Sandy Shores, her daughter's room in Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
And Scotty was going to come. Scotty's super cool. He's the coolest Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Made all his money on his own, just got out, and then they became, store big.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was on his own. Like, he's super cool. So we went to this room over Pauly, drove down there all together. We have one room that we got to share for the night. And suddenly the word is Mitzi's going to come. The owner of the Comedy Store is going to come. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Instead of being a fun time, it's going to be nerve-wracking as shit.
Yeah.
This is a problem. But then Scotty comes in, and the old manager took her too. Shelly, the old manager, drove her up there.
Mm-hmm.
So Scotty came in and was like, calmed us down. I was like, guys, this is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is how Bobby Lee got passed. He opened for Paul Rodriguez right here.
Right.
In Palm Springs. This is how he got passed. Like, she saw him in a good room. You guys are about to go up in a road room.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of for 12 spread out people in the OR,
yeah,
you're going to go up in a road room,
right?
Full of fun people. She's gonna definitely see it.
Mm-hmm.
So Simone went up first and killed, just destroyed. And we're like, whoa. And I think I went up, maybe when it's easy, I forget the order. I think that I went up, just a great set. Then that last one, great set. And we're like, dude, this is it. He's right. She just saw each one of us kill. This is awesome. So we're standing there waiting for Pauly to finish so he can do his 23 minutes of headlining, whatever it is. And we're standing there selling his merch. You know, Steve Renazzisi is doing this thing. He always does like 100% cotton, made in America, like trying to get people. We're just stoked. And then Shelly comes over and she goes, Mitzi wants to talk to you. And she's not happy.
Oh, man.
And we're like, what? What are you talking? Of course she'll be happy. What? No, you're fucking with us. No, she's upset. Come on. So we went over there and she's like, bend to crouch down or bend over. Pretty much just a prostrate herself. She goes, what the fuck was that? We're like, what? She goes, you're not paid regulars. You can't be doing this shit. We're like, I know. We're not working out at the store. We're trying to get better. We're doing a road room. Your son invited us. No, this is not allowed. This is bullshit. We're like, but you, we got the call from the Comedy Store phone. he invited us. What are you talking about? You're not paid regulars. Know your place. And this guy's like, you know, Mitzi, don't you remember Bobby Lee did the same thing? He goes, no, it's different. You think you're good enough, but you're not. You want to do my system or you hit the road? We're like, well, why don't you do your system? But we can get paid somewhere.
Yeah.
No, you're not paid means you don't get paid. She was just the beginning of senility.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And so, just disheartening. I took my $200, lost it on blackjack that I made for the show. And I don't think we even stayed the night. We all just felt so shitty. They were like, let's just go home.
Yeah.
Not keep our hotel. When I got home, I stopped and thought about it. And I was like, I know what she wants of me. This is after 36 showcases. And the last one wasn't a non-paid regular. Mm-hmm. The second non-paid regular was like, it's showcase like 22.
Right.
And I was like, I know what she wants of me. She wants me to prostrate myself. Mm-hmm. So me and David Taylor, we were going to the airport or something. He was driving. I was like, we got to stop by Mitzi's. I knew where she lived. And I took a note and said, Mitzi, I get it now. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for going against you. And I understand what your plan is. And I want to do everything I can. Just not even believing in it at all.
Right.
Just knowing this is the way you do things.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
I'm
sorry.
Let her feel like she's a part of it.
Yeah. And I get it now. Got a call on Monday. Or two, whenever the talent coordinator got there.
Mm-hmm.
Mitzi would like you to showcase this Sunday. I was like, well, great, I'm passed. I knew that's what it was. And I'm like, for all these trying to get better, trying to get better, and then finally I get it. And it's like, I don't even give a fuck. This isn't the way I want it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like once I was done with Comedy Central as an idea, then they're like, hey, you want to come to the show? It's like, all right. But it's not like I'm like, please anymore. It's like now at the point, it's like, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like everything. The first agent I got. Nope, that's not true. Not the first commercial agent and not Justin. But everybody else that I got eventually was like, fine, it's just dumb now.
Yeah,
fine.
The timing is never... I think I remember when Gaffigan said like he did Letterman after like... I think he said he'd been showcasing for 9 years or something.
9 years of trying.
And he's like... he's like, when you get it, you're just like, well, it's about time.
About time.
Instead of being excited and celebrating the whole thing, it's just like, all right, let's do this.
But that's okay. That's just certain people's paths.
Yeah.
Other people get it. You know, Pete Davidson, this will be his second TV set, and he's 20. He just turned 20.
Right, right.
You know?
Which it is crazy when people think that that's how it happens. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that you just get it, like, instantly?
Like, there's a lot of...
people have no idea how tough it can be.
When I first moved to L.A., there was a lot of, like, of those young comics that they started doing, like, colleges.
Yeah.
And getting paid like good money to do colleges. And then they're just like, just people that shouldn't have even been paid to do stand up yet.
Comics, yeah.
And then they're
starting
to like complain about, I don't get spots at the clubs and I don't. It's like, you shouldn't even be getting paid anything yet. Like, you should be super happy that this money will finance your comedy career.
You're not good.
Yeah.
For you to complain, I realized this once I did get past at the comedy store, and I'd be complaining about something, about not getting spots, and I realized if I was talking to like a door guy, I'd be like, you better shut up.
Right, right.
Like, they want what you're not happy with.
Right, right.
You know who you're talking to, that's all.
Yeah, and also people that always complain about club owners and bookers, and it's just like, hey, they're all not going to like you. You have to just work with the people that appreciate you. But, you know, and there's clubs that I just spent like 5 years like, hey, how come this guy, you know, there's one club that told my buddy, like, you had to do Letterman or The Tonight Show or have a special before you headline here.
Yeah.
And he did Letterman. He was all excited. And then the booker's like, oh... the set looks sweetened, like they added laughter or something. And it's just like,
man,
at that
I played your game.
She just wants to say no to you. Yeah. She's just trying to find a reason. So that's you know.
And then you realize, like, some people like you and some people don't, and that's okay.
Right.
It's totally fine. And if those people are in this position, I had a club here where Big J went and talked to them for me. Mm-hmm. Me and his friend were like, hey, let's get some candy. So he went around the corner, and he goes, hey, and he talked about a lot of clubs to me. Mm-hmm. Talked to, about me to a lot of clubs to try to get me in.
Right.
And he goes, hey, there's this guy here, Ari Shaffir. He's a legitimately good comic. And he just moved here. And he's funny, and he's got like a little bit of a following. It's like, you'd be well off to book him here. And he lives right near here. And the guy goes, so you think he's better than me? And Jay was like, what? I don't know. Why would that even be the question?
Yeah.
And yeah, he is better than you, but like, what, what do you even do? And so it's like, you can't take that personally.
Right.
It's not about like, I don't think you're funny. It's just about, well, you're doing your thing. Or like we said before for that TV show.
Right.
It's like somebody wants to show that, that I'm not booking anyone who came before me.
Right.
To show that their dominance or, you know, or independence. And it's like, that's not, it's nothing to do with you.
Well, what do you feel about the whole, like, just now I've gotten to the point where I accepted, like, even just talking to someone now about being on a show, I have to explain, like, my whole career all over again to somebody who doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, you know, you haven't heard of me or you haven't seen me at the clubs. And it's like, no, of course they haven't. You have to explain it to them in a non, like, that's why everyone gets managers and agents to do that for them.
To explain it for you.
But, like, I literally, like, I got some TV show and I emailed this booker who books like 10 clubs and then emailed him back like a list of all the clubs I headlined, like all over the place. And then I get an email that says, do you ever come to the East Coast? And it's like
what?
It's like, do I say, did you read any of this stuff? Or do I just call up and say, hey, you know what? I do 40 weeks a year for the last 10 years and I work every, you know. All
they're trying to book you as a local or something.
Well, I don't know if they just are trying to feel out whether you actually, because there's definitely guys in LA and New York that don't do a lot of road work. So nobody quite knows if you have 10 minutes or if you do an hour or, you know.
Well, if they like you, they'll just assume you have the time.
Right.
Whenever they were like, do you have the time? It's like, dude, I have the time. What? I wouldn't even be here if I didn't have the time.
But there's definitely dudes that have great tapes and then you go to like the Midwest somewhere and they're like, do you know this guy? He didn't make it through. Like Thursday, he had like 10 minutes.
Fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've heard stories, but most of the time it's not that.
Right. Well, not so much anymore. It's too easy to figure out. Like, all you got to do is ask like two people, like, hey, have you ever seen this guy do a club before?
Yeah. And when I started getting booked on the road, it was nice. But part of me was also like, it's not because you think I'm funny. When I finally got into a certain club, it's like, it's not because you think I'm funny. It's because I'm drawing in other places. And that's why you're having me.
Right.
And all these years where I was like, aren't I doing well? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you have me back? Because
exactly.
I'm doing well. I was here with Rogan. You see me doing so good.
Right.
Can't you have me back? And then it was like, no, no. And then it was all just draws. Another thing. It's like, well, great. If this is what it's about, then I'll take it. I want to be here anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't say, fuck you. You don't go tell them to fuck themselves.
You might as well be Screech.
Plus, most of the time, the people holding you back aren't even the people there anymore.
Right.
People that hate the Comedy Store, it's because some cover booth guy that was fired 3 weeks after they had their interaction with him.
Right.
And they're like, fuck that place. And like, that place, we didn't like him either.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not that place.
But what made you think that it was like the right place for you when you...
The store?
Yeah.
Only one that was hiring, really. That was luck.
Yeah.
Didn't, hadn't even heard of it until I drove by it looking for the Laugh Factory.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I'll apply for a job there too, I guess.
Because I heard about all, you know, I knew about all the clubs and I drove down. I was deciding, I quit my TV job in Northern California. I was deciding whether I was going to go to New York or LA.
Yeah.
Because my sister was in San Diego and I was like, so I just went to LA. I did like a couple of those open mics in the laundromat. I did that Westwood Brew Co. with like Vance Sanders and Chris Hardwick. You know, this is like 2000, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Comedy Store one night, and I just kind of sat in the audience. And
oh, really?
The chick, Kirsten, or
who? Kirsten.
I'm trying to think of
Eleanor.
David Taylor knows the. Kirsten.
Oh, Kelly Kirsten.
Yeah, that girl. She just. I was like the only one in the audience, and all she did is just like insult me the whole time.
She was pretty badass. Rogan loves her. Rogan saw her one time in the belly room and was like, man, she had so much talent.
And I was like, I heard all the stories about how, you know, all these famous people would come here, and then it's like, it was just like empty, and it did feel like haunted too.
Oh, what year was that?
It's like 2000.
Oh, yeah, it's probably. When I got. You probably got there. Right around when I got there.
Yeah, and this was just a visit just to check it out.
99. Yeah, it was pretty empty from then to about 2008.
Yeah.
Weekdays was bad. Like, we couldn't start the show on time. We didn't have anybody there.
So then I moved here for 3 years, and then when I moved back to L.A., I did, like, the... I remember picking the numbers out of Barris's hat.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get picked the first night, and I think the next week I got picked to do it, and you were hosting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I guess I was there.
And then I was like... But there's nobody there. It was like, oh, yeah, what time, like, they do? Like 6 o'clock or something?
7 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm not waiting for the show for the open micers. We're starting. You guys can go on or you're off. I don't have time. We can't start this at 8 because we don't have time for everybody as is. So go on for, I'm sorry, but go on for nobody or don't go on.
Yeah. And so I kind of realized, like, oh, these are just people that are trying to get stage time. I was already doing, like, feature work on the road. Like, even when I moved to New York, I was going to, like, Pennsylvania to do these, you know, little hotel weekend rooms for a couple $100. You know, I was already making money as a comic.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, well, I don't want to perform in front of, because you still don't perform in, like, bars and stuff. I'd rather get, like, $100 and perform in front of, like, a bunch of people than...
I don't do comedy for money.
Than do, like, an empty...
I do comedy for comedy.
Yeah. But when you go up at the store, you feel like that's where you...
That's where I would.
Like, you can find, like, even if there's nobody there.
Not when there's zero people there.
Yeah.
No, when there's zero people there. I also won't go up at the store if there's, like, if it's dwindling down to, like, under 10. Right. I'm like, let the door guys go.
Yeah. That's what I was checking. But you did that for a long time.
Oh, yeah. For a while, it was worth it.
Right.
For a while, it was totally worth it.
What did you get out of that, exactly?
Spine.
Yeah.
Learn how to fucking take a hit when you're two people. Also, learn how to be conversational. Because if you get to start doing contrived bits in front of four, two over there, one, and one.
Right.
Then they're going to be like, why do you sound like that? Just talk to us.
Yeah, I see that. I mean...
Store's good for breaking people of that habit. If you go up there consistently, either you'll break or you'll just fade away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll get conversational.
Right. Unless that's like your act, you know what I mean? Like, there are some guys at that, you know, like... you ever seen, like, Dan Mintz or somebody like that? Like a... that just do one line.
I wonder how he would do it in front of, like, late
I
night.
Think those guys are great because they take the audience almost all the way out
in.
Of it.
They
it's
pull
just
them
like
in.
Them just talking and you let them come to
I
you.
I feel like that would be okay late at night.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to this.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, also, the holidays are coming, so use my Amazon link on my website, artgreat.com. Do you use it? Do you have your own?
I have my own, but I've used your... I think I bought something through... I bought some flowers through your thing.
Oh, yeah,
you
said flowers.
I threw some money your
you
way. But yeah, all the shopping, online shopping, go to Ari's Amazon link. In Canada as well, right?
In Canada as well. Yeah, they have Amazon.ca. I know I tell people to bookmark my website as Amazon, so you'll remember. But, okay, so first day you were here, first podcast we did here. We did an intro, I think, first up, didn't we?
Yeah, for Chip Pope coming out of the closet.
Yeah.
We couldn't think of a name for it.
Yeah, I always have that problem. this one is called, I forgot, hold on, I wrote it down, I put it on Twitter to somebody. Somebody asked me, what are you going to call this? Because I was trying to get a, fucking had to do a replacement. This guy, or whatever. Stupid fucking idiot. Everybody gets worried about being sued for saying something wrong.
Yeah.
So this guy was like, oh, I'm going to get sued. You can't. So it's like, you got to take it down. But it's like, let them sue. I don't care. Let them sue me. It's fine. So I'll just say I didn't do anything wrong. Let me. If it takes that much to get into court to say I didn't do anything wrong, then fine. Sue me so we can do it.
And we did hear that. Are you going to play that message on here or no?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's play the message. I just got a message from my...
Well, you can drop it in, right? Or no?
I could drop it in.
It's probably be a little
you
bit clearer.
No, you're right. I'll drop it in. I'll do it. Okay, here's the message I just got from my manager, Scott, today.
Hi, this is Janelle. I just watched some four YouTube videos of your... talent comedian Ari Shaffir, and I find few things insulting Mexican people, African American people, and I would like to talk to either him or his attorney about this thing, because this has to really stop, because this is insulting, it's spreading the hatred feelings towards different races, and that's not right. And I'd like to talk to you or to him or his attorney, because if that's not gonna stop, I would have to sue Mr. Ari Shaffir for bullying and insulting and just, I don't know what to say because this is really, I'm shocked to see these kind of videos in United States in 2013, like 21st century. Like, I really need to talk to you because I have already 100 people signed the petition that is really insulting, and I don't want you to have problems, but this video has to stop. Thank you. And my phone number is...
Yeah, that was it.
So as you can see, Ari has his detractors as well.
I do.
Do you have like a lawyer just on salary?
I do have a lawyer, but not on salary, no. He only handles like stuff like my special deals and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I have to say this. I forgot all the stuff I did in the intro before. My special, Chill, is going out of business. So anyone out there who got my special for $5, you need to go download it. Use all your HD and SD downloads. Get them now. By the 15th of December, they're not going to be there anymore.
It's $5. Just do it.
I don't even think they can buy it anymore.
Oh, no?
Yeah. But the ones who already did, go get all your extra downloads that you have, go get them.
Oh, okay.
And then share them with your friends. Give them to your friends, too, if you want. But they're going away soon. So go do the downloads.
So now what happens with that?
Well, the lawyers are working on it to get me the rights back because they don't have any interest in it. So yeah. I'll just get it back, and then I'll either try to sell it to a network or Netflix.
Yeah, get it on Netflix, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But in the meantime, it's only going to be available on Pirate Bay. So make sure to get it however you get stuff.
You can't just have it streaming on your website?
No, but I am thinking if I don't give it to a network soon enough, I'm just going to put it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's... Here it is,
everybody. Enjoy.
Well,
maybe have one ad in the front, one 15-second ad, and then here's an hour of stand-up.
You felt good about doing the hour, obviously. But what
were there. That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how much they cut out the squeaking of the shoes?
Well, I think that definitely helped, right? The powder?
The powder did help, but it still did it the next show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was no squeaking.
You're right,
the finished product. Here's the episode title. The Don't Worry About Lawsuits Makeup episode.
How many times have you had to hire a lawyer?
I've consulted one a few times. I was one once. I pretended I was a lawyer for this semi-homeless crazy guy for a while. I got him to give me power of attorney over all his affairs for about a year period. I'd take his phone calls twice a week, go over cases. He was trying to sue San Diego State Hospital System, I think for fucking him up. He's trying to sue John Edwards, the psychic, for being a false prophet. And I was like, well, why would you get... If he's a false prophet, why would you get the money? He goes, because he's a false prophet. I was like, totally. He thought he was the second coming of Christ. I represented him for about a year, and then I said, I can't do it anymore. He sued me.
Well, yeah.
I was representing you pro bono.
You could see that coming.
I got a letter from like the Better Business Bureau saying, you're having shady practices. I'm like, no, what practice? I'm a comedian. I'm not a lawyer. Take away my whatever. It's fine. Is this recording? Yes, it is.
You know, we've run enough water to get to the Philippines out of this disaster right now.
To steam that?
How long have you had the water running?
I don't know. It's got to steam. knocking over my Rogaine. What did you think of that? You talk about it for a second. I'll turn the water off. Talk about that. Yeah, man. Rogaine. Rogaine like a mug.
What is this real?
Yeah. What do you mean?
I thought it was...
Prop Rogaine?
Well, what did you do when you had your head shaved? Did you... Just put it on your scalp?
Yeah, sure. Then I got right to the source.
You're not scared of any of that side effect stuff?
On Rogaine?
Any of that stuff.
You're thinking of, what's it called?
Propecia.
Propecia. Rogaine's just, it's on the surface.
But it's still growing hair on a surface.
That's why my finger palms are so hairy. Yeah, there's no side effects on Rogaine. Propecia, they say it's boner problems.
Yeah.
But probably my best line I've ever had was...
I was talking
with John Little on the Spotline. Nope, my favorite one was Tammy Buscatelli after Last Comic Standing. I was asking her, like, hey, so how things going for you? Like, what, you know, are you taking meetings? What are you doing? She goes, yeah, they all say the same thing. And I was like, what, come back 10 years ago? And Taylor heard it, and she goes, what? I was like, nothing. But I was talking with John Little about Rogaine. He was like worried about going bald. I was like, yeah, take some or Propecia or whatever. And then Whitney was talking to somebody. She goes, oh, I heard there's like, you know, boner problems on that. And I was like, yeah, I read that. But honestly, it said the cases of erectile dysfunction on it were about 3%, which is about the same as a placebo group.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really see any difference there. So I don't see it as a problem. She goes, well, you know, I've had guys that have been on it that have had problems. And I go, well, you have really small tits. So could be because of that.
I did hear Jenny McCarthy on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
She says, and this is obviously someone who's given a lot of blowjobs, that she can tell the difference when there's a guy that's on Propecia and when he's not, like how hard.
Wow.
Like,
she also said that there's my dick. Right next to Don Rickles' Hello Dummy and Big J hosting a trailer wrestling contest. She also said that her kid got autism from...
right.
What's it called? Shots? From... What were they?
Kids
get shots when they're born?
To prevent diseases.
Yeah.
The
immunizations?
Yeah.
Something like that. But she goes, yeah, they gave her autism. And she wrote this book, and everybody stopped taking these immunity shots, whatever they're called. What the fuck are they called?
Immunizations.
That's a different word for it.
Boosters.
Nah. Shots kids
measles,
get.
Measles, mumps, rubella.
Shots kids get when they're born. There's a word for it. Anesthetized? No. Shots kids get when they're born. Nah, fuck it.
Well,
but she goes, so people weren't getting it. And the doctors were like, please don't listen to her because she's a crazy woman and has no medical. It does not give you autism. And polio. Ugh. Polio started making a comeback because people weren't getting their. Fuck. I got to look up what that word is. I got to look it up. I'm sorry.
It's about time polio comes back around, though, you know?
Shots, it's had too long a hiatus. Shots children need.
Babies you can't need. Be that big and not come back. Vaccinations. Yeah,
so people weren't getting them. Turns out later, kid grew up, not autistic. So she wrote this book, which is still probably selling, by the way. Which is still probably selling. Is she still selling that book, knowing that her kid's not even autistic? Let me see. Where would I look? Amazon?
How do you know that the kid's not autistic?
Oh, it came out. She goes, oh, my kid does not have autism.
Oh, she said it?
Yeah, because once you grow up, that's when you find out if somebody's autistic. You can't really test for it that well. So, not autistic. And people are like, well, what's wrong with the kid then? I'm like, he's just got a dumb slut for a mother. That's what it is. He's got a dumb fucking worthless moron. What do you think was going to happen to him? Is he going to be brilliant? He's a little bit challenged. I shouldn't have said slut. It's not about that. It's about just being dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb cunt for a mother.
She's empowering herself with sex. Well, wait, so do you ever feel you never have any worries about... We were just talking about the Mexican antibiotics that I got.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry about the validity of drugs? Or not validity, but like what they will do to you? Any kind of drugs? Like, I'm not just talking like...
Healing and Preventing Autism, A Complete Guide, paperback by Jenny McCarthy.
Read it.
Louder Than Words, A Mother's Journey in Healing Autism, paperback by Jenny McCarthy, for her kid who does not have autism. Mother's Warriors, A Nation of Parents Healing Autism Against All Odds, hardcover by Jenny McCarthy, for a kid who does not have autism. Life Laughs, The Naked Truth About Motherhood, Marriage, and Moving On. Oh, that's not about... Okay, that's fine. That one's okay. Sorry. I'm just upset at certain people.
Well, I won't say...
Get your book off the shelf if you know you're wrong.
But she hurt her back and canceled on Ferguson. That was one of my TV appearances.
Oh, congratulations.
I got to fill in for.
Congratulations.
So thank you,
Ferguson.
Jenny.
Did your Ferguson set us still online?
I think, yeah.
I'll post it on the website, arithegreat.com, for this episode. Okay, so let's finish up talking about... Oh, what did you think about that voicemail?
The message?
Yeah.
Does that ever freak you out? Or you
No. In the early, early days, when I didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
But I realized these people are never... Like, they just don't get it. It's fine. Somebody asked me once recently, are you afraid that the people who you don't like are going to get joy out of it, like saying these white power groups enjoy it or something like that? And I'm like, if the worst thing is that people I don't want to bring entertainment to get entertained, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right with that.
Right.
I don't care if they're laughing. Who cares? What does that do? So fine. Yeah. Appreciate it on the wrong level. It's Skype.
So what's the worst, like personal critic or somebody that's just come up to you and confronted you, like, that's freaked you out the most? Nobody?
Nobody ever. One time, a comic, Sasquatch, Isos, from the not All Things Comedy.
Oh, yeah. A Special Thing?
Yeah. He was like, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I just don't find it funny. I think that was the worst that I've ever gotten in person.
Yeah.
Which is, that's totally fine. That's like, oh, yeah, your sketch about, you know, the Muppet Babies one. I didn't like that either. Who cares? Fine. It's totally cool not to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, like, let's just say the people who only the people who clicked like on it were the ones who liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of people laughed at it. At just the old ones, not even the new ones.
Right.
So no, I'm not sorry for making millions of people laugh. No, absolutely not.
That is
That's
funny.
Why I'm doing this uncensored show on a tell, and people are like, oh, you're excited to do an uncensored show? I'm like, well, I've already stopped censoring myself.
Right.
So I'm just doing my comedy, and you'll call. That's what David Tell said. I was like, when I asked him, when he, like 5 months ago, when I heard he got it, I was like, oh, an uncensored show, right? He goes, it's not just comedy. It's a comedy show.
Yeah.
It's just a comedy show. We're just doing comedy, and no one's telling us what not to say.
Right.
I think most people are going to try to go dirty. I should do drugs.
And you know him pretty well now, or no? Or do you?
Kind of know him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Because I just know him through other people and just hearing stories.
Dude, he's better
and
than ever.
And, well, that's the thing, is I heard there was a couple years there where he literally was like, I'm too dirty for the audiences now. I feel like they don't like me.
I feel like that was the drinking years, and I think he was off.
Yeah. And so I went to...
not all the drinking years, the later drinking years.
Well, they did a benefit for Geraldo in L.A.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And it was like Tom Papa, Mark Maron, Tosh. And so Tosh at that time was like the biggest, you know, Tosh.0 was like exploding. And he was
massive.
And he was super dirty. Yeah. And Attell went on after him. And was like so excited that the audience was already at the point where they weren't even gonna think about judging any of the dirty shit that he was gonna do, and he had a fucking blast.
Oh really?
And you could just tell he was like really happy that.
Who was that?
Attell.
Attell. Oh,
like
yeah.
He did that. It was the Geraldo benefit, like at the what's that nice theater, the Wiltern.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like just a great show, but Tosh was like pretty dirty, and then he got to go up after him after the audience was already great for. A bunch of dirty material. And I say dirty like it doesn't mean anything to us. It's just what other people might find.
Oh, yeah.
A little
I just don't
off
think
color.
People should think about it at all anymore. And I've started to make my career a little bit not thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I did one K-Loke, whatever, CTV show,
mm-hmm.
and somebody made me take a joke. Pat Buckles made me change a joke. From Chicago was the reference.
Uh-huh.
About how guys are kind of lame when they fall in love. And the reference was Chicago. Here was a joke where it's like you can tell when your guy friends in love, they won't admit it, but you can tell because when a slow song comes on the radio, I'll go to change it. And he'll be like, no, leave it on. And then you want to say you're in love. And he goes, no, I love Chicago. And she goes, I don't think the Latino people that are going to be in this audience would get that. So change it to like easy listening or something. And I was like, actually, I perform at the Ice House like 3 times a weekend
mm-hmm.
for 80% Mexicans. But I didn't have the balls to say, I'm just going to do it my way. And I realize now they're just suggestions from these people.
Yeah.
But I'm the comic. And I changed it to easy listening. And it didn't hit hard.
Right.
And I won't do that anymore because I don't have to anymore. Because nobody ever took me. It's not like I had to play their game to get me where I am. I didn't play anybody. I just kept doing comedy and no one took me. Except Justin, eventually.
Yeah. And Peter Cetera's voice is universally known as angelic.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, with Attell, it's like it's not uncensored. Just do comedy. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
I
never.
Went up yesterday, I saw him. He did great. Just doing his regular Judah on the World Champion jokes.
Right. Yeah. Did I ever tell you the first show I did with those guys? It was one of the weirdest shows I did.
Which guys?
Of all time. Like Judah. There was a show at the Boston Comedy Club, which isn't there anymore. Did you ever play that?
I did one time. That's where I met Wayne Rada.
Who's that? Wayne.
Wayne went on to be the talent guy at
Booker.
Stand Up New York.
Okay.
And then some other place too. He was always hooking me up.
Is that the guy who was like Patrice's manager?
For a while, yeah.
Yeah,
Big
okay.
J's too.
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah.
There was a show at the Boston Comedy Club. Ed Helms used to run it. And it was like not quite a bringer show, but he would like just book people he liked or whatever. There'd be a couple guys that would bring stuff. So Ed Helms is hosting. There's literally like 7 people in the audience.
Yeah.
On a Monday at 7. And it's Ed Helms, Judah Friedlander, me, then there's a guy, I still don't know who this guy was, he did Mark Cuban,
Kechner?
Which this is like 10 years ago. No, just some guy. I don't know who he was.
Yeah.
He went up there with a basketball and just complained about refs for like 5
really?
Minutes. And it was fucking hilarious to me, but I knew that
no one else was
getting it.
He was just doing Mark Cuban. Yeah, those people, the hipsters, wouldn't get that at all.
And then Gaffigan.
That's all he does, Cuban.
And Gaffigan was on that show. And I always think about that, like, because not only did Gaffigan and Judah both become huge, but fucking Ed Helms is a movie star now.
Ed Helms is the biggest of all of them, maybe.
So that's like that. Those are my memories of like New York early, because I went to that Eating It show, the one I forget. It was kind of Largo, and it was like, you know, Marc Maron, and everyone used to do, like, anyone did it would
the
get
room. Yeah,
premium blend. You know, if you got booked on that show,
you were good.
Yeah,
that was their Comedy Store Tonight show. Okay, so hey, I want to read you what the last two things.
Okay,
so this is what she gets on me. She got me a little bit for the trash. Cool, took her right in.
Okay, this is the landlord.
Never did it again.
Or your neighbor,
possibly. So it's either the neighbor complaining to her,
mm-hmm.
or possibly the pot smoke. She lives upstairs. It might be the pot smoke that she smells somehow. I could see that. She's never mentioned it in any way.
You don't just yell randomly, "It's medicine."
It's medicine. Yeah, I have an expired license from Los Angeles. Or possibly it's because I let my friend stay here when I'm gone.
How many people stay here?
I let Fitzsimmons stay once for about 3 or 4 weeks. I let Big J stay when I'm gone. I let my other friend stay here once when I was gone. It was like, and she goes, "No, you can't do that." I was like, "No, I'm not renting it. Just, you know, those are my friends." She goes, "No, I just, because if you won't do it, then other people are going to do it, so you can't do it." And I was like, "Okay, but just so you know, those are just my friends that are staying here. Those are my friends that I'm not staying here." She goes, "That's strangers." I'm like, "It's not strangers. Those are my friends who I'm sharing my home with.
And I'm not here."
Yeah,
so.
And she goes, "There's people going to come in all the time. We can't have it." And I was like, "Okay, but we can, because those are my friends." And she goes, she just sort of kept writing it off.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Well, how come?" And then she was like, "Well, how come you're not here when they're here?" And I didn't realize till just now that she watches everybody come down the hallway. That's why she knows.
Right.
I was like, if it was an upstairs floor, she wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
Just because she's on the first floor and I'm on the bottom floor. Or she's one floor up and I'm on the ground floor. But
yeah.
So anyway, so because when I'm not here, I don't mind them staying here.
Right.
I think she's worried about people renting out their places.
Yeah.
But the law is, as long as it's over a month, you're allowed to rent out your place.
Over a month?
Over a month. You're allowed to rent out your place.
Oh, okay.
Not less than.
What do you mean over a month?
It has to be over a month. You can sublet your place for over a month by New York State.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Under a month, you can't rent your place for a weekend. So Airbnb, they're skirting the law a little bit, but just skirting it.
Did you ever tell that story about how you rented that place and you had to take care of somebody's fucking cat?
That was my first Airbnb when I did my special, Like, oh, and by the way, please feed the cats. So I said, what, feed the cat? I didn't know about the cats. I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, I thought it was like you got there and there was a cat and you're like, hey, there's a cat here. And they're just like, yeah, you can just feed it like once a day.
Yeah, the notes on there. Yeah.
So I'm paying to be your cat sitter for $500.
Yeah, if you don't mind. I just had to keep him out of. He was a cute cat. I just had to keep him out of the bedroom so I could sleep.
Ugh, I'm allergic to cats.
Me too.
That would have killed me.
Me too, but I just kept him out of there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he just washed the sheets and I was like, okay, this will do. And I just would never let him into it. He tried to get in. He goes, he might try to sleep with you. I'm like, he ain't sleeping with me. I'm not sneezing before I do my special.
Did Fitzsimmons do any podcast in here?
Possibly.
Did he say anything about knocking?
So they got mad. So anyway, so then she left a note. I left in her note, said, hey, my lease comes up March 15th. I don't want to move then. Because it's going to be hard for me. I'm going to be back in LA for pilot season, mid-January to mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
So can we just extend it? It was like 4 months in. So I was like, can we just extend it till like mid-June? And she goes, okay, yes, you can. But just so you know, the rent is going up to an extra $250 a month. Yeah. From 1950 to 2200.
Yeah.
13%. But I was like, and I looked up that law. Legal.
Yeah.
Totally legal. You can go up to 16%.
But will it sell?
What? Oh, I don't know. That's not the law. Whether it's not going to sell has nothing to do with me. So I asked. I was like, whoa, that's pretty steep. I was like, I was kind of expecting not to go up at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for 22, this is over. My max was 2. This is well over my max. It's an extra 10% above.
Yeah.
I'm like, I might have to take a roommate or I might not be able to do it. She came back, well, just so you know, if you take a roommate, it's going to be $2,500. And she goes, it's non-negotiable, $2,200 starting, you know, March 15th. And so I was like, and she goes, if you want the extension of the lease, just let me know, but put it in writing. I was like, oh, Jesus. All right. So maybe I was going to let Matt Egger stay here and just like extend it to like May and then fucking get out then or something. Or maybe just keep it because I'm lazy. Who knows? But I don't know what I was going to do.
Is that legal though, the roommate thing?
I'm not sure about
to
that.
To raise it?
I'm not sure. I think you are allowed to have one roommate on. You can just add them to the lease.
It has to be. It's not a fucking hotel.
Yeah, I know. So this is the response she got a week, 10 days before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The response I got, I received your letter. Thank you. We will address your shower problem. Oh, I had a shower problem. You know, you took a shower in there. It won't go down to cold.
I never knew how to turn it to hot.
I know. Because it took a while to warm up. It was like 7 minutes to warm up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once you have it warmed up, it stays too hot for you. So I was like, I need to be able to turn it to like lukewarm. I need a lukewarm once in a while.
Well, I thought the actual heat wasn't working too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but they took care of it. But I'd tell you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pretending your rent increase. I'm sorry. The rent will it be increased. The rent will be increased when your lease terminates. It will be higher if you take a roommate, $2,500. You reported that you were barely here, and now she gets starts getting antagonistic.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't need to be a factor.
I said, it's tough for me to spend that much. I'm barely here. I'm here like half the year.
Right.
3 months straight, I'm being in L.A. I'm on
no
the road
You're no
time
problems
here.
Whatsoever.
I was in Australia for 2 weeks. That's okay. It's not a pipe. I was in Australia for 2 weeks. I have no problem. I'm paying my rent on time. I'll say, I'll pay my rent 6 months early if you want. She goes, you reported that you're barely here. However, you freely share the apartment key with strangers who stay in the apartment for days. I don't know in what capacity they stay in your apartment, but that is not allowed here. Totally legally allowed. We rented the apartment to you and nobody else. So let's move on, and let me remind you that you have a security deposit that you can use for your last month's rent. If not, I will return the security deposit to you.
So she wants you out.
I guess so. I didn't really read it that closely.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Then, on the 27th, me and Todd Barnes, the guy who said whatever that was before, about mushrooms? Oh, that was on a different podcast. It was on Punch Drunk.
Okay.
Punch Drunk Sports, everybody. which you've been on lots.
I've only been on, I think, I called in a couple of times.
Yeah, you were on once.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're back in that old studio again.
Oh, really?
Back in Lovitz. It's this new thing. I don't know, whatever. We're there. But we have a green screen backdrop, so we always go to, like, from Wembley Stadium.
Nice.
You know, live from, you know, the sky. So those guys came over. We did a podcast about directing, and they filmed it. The last guy in the film crew, they had like professional cameras and stuff, came in. He kept ringing the wrong floor. And then she let him in. He said, oh, you can't film in here. I was like, oh, what? She goes, yeah, you're not allowed to film in here. I was like, what are you talking about? Why not? She goes, no, read your lease. You can't. I was like, oh, well. And like, we already had two cameras set up. The last guy was coming in with the sound. I was like, well, she goes, well, you know, do whatever, but you can't do that. Read the lease. I did read the lease. There's nothing about filming. I can do whatever I want in my apartment as long as I'm not making extra noise.
Right.
If I'm not talking above this level, oh, it's because I was standing up before. Is that it?
I don't know.
That can't be that. Maybe she just left.
But that's like a pretty overt. Like I have a guy above me.
Yeah.
That just argues with his girlfriend.
And you just take it.
And it's like he's already mad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna yell at the guy and up the ante. Yeah. You know.
She's never once come over here and said, I'm sorry, I'm really having trouble sleeping. Can you please try? But it's like, what else can I do?
Like,
I don't know what else to do.
But if she hit like five times and you just fucking took like a hammer and just hit like five times back harder.
I banged once. One time I banged back. Because I'm all about mushrooms and not fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Gonna get you? So one time though, she kept doing it all. I just ignored her. I was like, I'm going to keep talking like this.
Right.
So it's unreasonable. So I'm just going to ignore. I just kept talking, whatever I was doing on the phone or walking. I think I was just walking and not even talking. She kept banging. I was like, well, I'm not going to stop walking barefoot in my apartment.
You can't escalate it, man.
So, but eventually she kept doing all every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept not stopping, and I kept just not responding. Kept not being quiet. I'm not even going to respond to it. Then eventually she banged, and I was right by where she was banging. I just banged back three times. And as you could tell, it like, took her like by surprise. And then she banged like four more times. Like she paused for a second, banged four more times, and then it went away for the rest of the day. anyway. So that was the 27th. On the 28th, she left me this note, and we got to go soon. You're doing Artie, right, tonight?
10. I don't have to be there till 10. Can 22? I go with you or no?
Oh, yeah, you can go with me to this thing. Yeah, we're going to meet Tom Rhodes down there.
Okay.
And Ralphie's coming at 10. We're going to have some shawarma.
Shawarma. I ate Brazilian steakhouse. You ever had one of those?
Delicious.
When they just bring the fucking sticks of
Which
meat.
Which one did you eat at?
Texas de Brazil or something.
Delicious one.
Yeah.
I had one of those in Vegas and somewhere else. I think Dallas.
Yeah. I worked at Funny Bone in Syracuse. This huge mall. And I ate so much. It was great.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I got. Mr. Shafir, on November 28th, 2013, this was...
It's already anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on November 28th. This is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
This note was under my door. You conducted a business film session in your apartment. There were more than four people present in your apartment. Let me remind you. I don't understand what that is. There were more than four people present in your apartment. Let me remind you that your apartment is to be used and occupied for private residential purposes as stated in your lease. The rules of the lease are not to be broken. I suggest you move on and find a suitable renting space where you can have friends stay in the apartment and conduct business deals. Therefore, review your lease and look for another place that might benefit you in those areas. You can use your security lease for the last month in your lease.
She wants you out.
She wants me out. So I'm not going to fight. So I'm just going to tell her, like, hey, fine, I get it. It's illegal what you're asking me to do. It's illegal what you're saying, that I can't have a Super Bowl party in my house. That I can't have a Super Bowl party here. What are you talking about, one of the four people in my apartment? What are you talking about? No, you can't just ask for stuff that's totally not legal. That's not – you're not allowed to do that.
You gotta,
so I'll say, fine, whatever. I get it, though. I'm not going to fight you. But I want to say something passive-aggressive about, like, in the Bible, Abraham was taught to welcome strangers. And I will continue doing that despite what you illegally tell me to do. But I don't want to fight. So, yeah, December 15th, you won't get a rent from me. That'll be my last month, and I'll be out.
All right. Two things you have to do for me.
Okay, yes.
First, well, you could either do it the nice way. You can say – you can put, like, a posting on the front door that says, if you're here from – the rehab clinic, and you're here for a session.
Yeah,
or if you're responding to the Craigslist ad, glory hole is room 1C or something like that. Or also, I forget which comic it was. There's somebody who had like an annoying neighbor, and they just left for like a month, and they got like a snippet of like a really annoying part of a song
and played on
and
loop?
Just had it on a loop like 4 weeks while they were away.
Oh, they really can't go to your apartment for any reason here.
Yeah,
they're strict on that.
And it made someone nuts. Like, and not even like, you don't have to play it super loud, but if she can hear us talking, she can obviously hear like...
Yeah, voices bother her more than music though.
So you have to find like the most annoying song or at least the section of that song.
That thing from what's it called? That thing from, I'll look it up right now. From Dumb and Dumber. Remember that?
Yeah.
Most annoying sound in the world? Where is this? Most annoying sound in the world.
I think if you just played the beginning of like, so you had a bad day, and just have it keep running over and over again.
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad. That would be really bad. I wonder if this looks it up. Oh, my internet's so shitty right now.
But there's got to be something scientifically based that there's got to be a song that is annoying to people, right?
Well, they played it for to hurt like people. They have when the government surrounds people, when the army surrounds you, they play those things that smoke them out.
Right. What song was that? They just said it, right?
It was like some metal. Shut up!
Oh, that's a commercial for Geico right there. Bring that money in.
Yeah. Oh, I should do this by now. By the way, while I'm loading this up, Squarespace.com, everybody.
Hey,
this will be the post roll.
I made a website while we were doing this podcast.
Oh, that's
awesome. How easy it is.
Using Squarespace.com?
Yeah, I had to X out the picture of Ari's cock, but everything else looks clear.
Yeah, man.
Right on the iMac.
It's great. If you wanted to make a website about Ari's cock, you go to Squarespace.com, and if you put in offer code SKEPTIC, SKEPTIC, they will give you 10% off.
In fact,
and a free domain name.
You can buy the website, ariescock.com.
Probably, if it's available. If it's available,
ariescock.com. Do it right now. Squarespace.
You can use Squarespace to go load it up. But listen, guys, they have like 20 different templates, and you can just go back and forth, and just, you can change them. If you get tired of one and go, oh, I'm not happy with this anymore, you can just change it for free. It ends up being about $8 a month, which is really nothing.
It's nothing. That's
it's all drag and drop. That means you take a picture. You just drag it to the Squarespace site and say, do you want to sell this thing? It's so easy to do commerce on there. You can sell shit.
Yeah.
Like, real easily. They walked me through it. It's like, I mean, even if I weren't sponsoring, it's like, it's a good site. I probably wouldn't mention it on my podcast, but it's a good fucking site. Cheap and fucking easy as shit.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I mean, remember when everyone just used their MySpace pages for like websites, and now you can like make 10 times that with Squarespace?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot. Stamped it. Can't do double stamped it. No erasing.
The other guys in the car with them.
Right, right. The Italian guy. Mental. Yeah.
Mental. That movie was amazing.
Yeah. I auditioned for the second one.
Is it?
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
That was it.
Even the next part is great when he's
What's
like, radio, who needs their radio? Mock. Yeah. Ding.
Yeah.
Bird.
Ready, Harry? Mock. Yeah. Ing. Yeah. Bird. Yeah. 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 Mockingbird. Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a monkey.
What a great movie that was. What a great fucking movie.
I hope this next, they're doing the second one.
Yeah, they did the prequel, which is like nobody.
Well, that I don't count.
One of those guys went on to have a real career.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who was it?
He's in one of the NSIS or Law and Order SUVs or something. He's in one of those.
I auditioned for the next one, and it's like, it's Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, obviously, but yeah. They brought back like Petey, the blind kid.
Oh,
had
did?
The bird still and like a couple of things. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He's so quiet. He's so quiet.
I sold some stuff.
Dude, I laughed harder at that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I had gut belly laughs where I was screaming with laughter.
What was the biggest...
When they came over that hill in the beginning, when he flew in the Wienermobile and all those dogs are getting mustard all over themselves,
uh-huh.
I mean, I could not stop.
My biggest one, I think, I went with my brother, and we both fell out of the chairs when they're having the snowball fight.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
And then he just smashes her right in the face.
Right in the face, about 5 feet. That is the one.
Yeah, both of the physical things. Remember when that Mento guy, they gave him the poison?
Uh-huh.
And they're like trying to, he's like kicking him off, and then he goes with like two hands and smashes him like on the chest.
With insulin?
To lodge it up,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was Jim Carrey.
Oh, God.
There's some people that don't like that movie, too.
I would say watch it again. By the way, also watch again my Storyteller shows. Click This Is Not Happening playlist in YouTube. Just do a search for that. This Is Not Happening playlist. And that'll come up. All of them will come up.
I was there, man.
You were there. Which ones did you like?
Everything was funny.
You only saw one show, right?
I saw the second one. I saw Joey Diaz,
How was
Rogan.
That story?
Yeah, all of them were great.
Rogan ended the first show.
And then the confrontation between you and Ren Azizi and Natasha.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one when it comes out.
Did they put that together or no?
Yeah, they put it together and it looks cool as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Jeff so Thompson, great.
Great job.
Did she have no idea that you were going to call her up?
I think she might have because they told her, they all went to dinner in between when we shot the opening,
mm-hmm.
the crazy fight scene. Also, Jeff Thompson, like, he's directing the David Tell show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, man. Anyway, so yeah.
So you're a Hollywood douchebag that you know directors now.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Let's do Blow Together. It'll be that. So they went to eat. Moshe was doing one of the first show.
Uh-huh.
And Ren Azizi and I think Bobby Lee.
Uh-huh.
He might have come down. Or maybe it was some third person. They told him what they were going to do. You know, call me and Bobby up to do the confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, he's dating Natasha now. So he goes, I mean, this is all over Natasha. We should just call her and get her to come down. And I guess at first she didn't want to. And then she was like, all right. Moshe was like, you should do this. It would be legitimately funny.
Yeah.
And then she got talked into it. And then, yeah, it was just a fun. Yes. Eric Abrams says he doesn't like it because it was like us working out our personal problems on stage.
I think that's great.
But it was I think it was real and fucking rad.
I mean, I know all of you guys. Yeah.
That 1-2-3 between it went Joey Diaz, then it was all fight stories. So first went Kurt Braunholer,
mm-hmm.
who's his is up already. His fight story was great.
Right.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Then Joey Diaz, whose was amazing.
Right.
Getting
out of the hotel.
That was Rogan's.
Oh, that was Rogan's. Yeah, that was great too.
Yeah. That one's not gonna he's like, nah, it's not right, we're just gonna show the other
one. Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's gonna work on it and do it again later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But and then the Ren Azizi, me, Tasha, Bobby Lee thing, and then fucking Big J. Okerson right after that to close it.
Yeah,
which I was like, I didn't want anybody else to follow this except fucking Big J. Okerson.
And they're not going to include his line
after he went on after that thing, and Natasha was complaining about getting into the comedy store. He was like, it's so great to hear about Natasha Leggero's tumultuous first 2 years of comedy.
She made it through.
Yeah, she somehow survived. It. Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun stuff. That's when I realized watching that. I was like, oh, I'm allowed to do this for the David Tell show, too.
Yeah.
I can just fuck around for a minute, get comfortable,
uh-huh.
and they'll just cut it out.
Yeah.
It's not like Letterman. Just guys, let me say hi and what's up, you fucking dick. Let me just say hi and stuff you're not going to use and let me just get a rapport with them. Then
exactly. Because that's the thing is like you just need to know how to get the crowd ready for what you're going to do.
I learned a lot from watching and helping edit these.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm just an executive producer.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wearing a lot of hats, man.
Yeah, I guess so. But I learned a lot from doing that and from watching those tapes.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
To every comic who's watching right now, when I had to watch 287 tapes, we all did, like everyone who was doing it, I was trying to make sure like nobody like really good slipped through the cracks,
mm-hmm.
you know? The people who had a, like the sound was bad,
mm-hmm.
or the it was grainy.
Right.
I mean, we always grew up saying, no, they'll just listen to the jokes. That's quality of the video doesn't matter. The jokes are what matter.
Right.
And I'm telling you, after 20 seconds, unless they're killing within 20 seconds, I'm not going to finish watching.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody was on a TV tape, even if it's a TV show I didn't even know it existed,
right.
some Danish show or some fucking Mexican show, whatever, or some public access show, if it looked good, I'm like, well, this looks good.
Yeah.
You're just more likely. And if you're auditioning, memorize your goddamn lines.
And it's still one of those things, like, and that's what I told you, I think, a couple months ago. I bought a wireless Sennheiser mic.
Yeah.
To wear on stage. So
you get crystal clear audio.
And also for auditions. Man. Because my commercial agent will be like, hey, can you just read this and send in a tape? If I have audio? A green screen in my house, a decent level HD camera, and a wireless mic, it looks as good as any.
And then it'll be different from everybody else. Yeah. Like, oh, who's this? It also looks good and professional. Right. So why did I say that? Oh, about making stuff look good.
Just when you send stuff to bookers and to agents and stuff, just know that the quality definitely does matter. Like a guy that has a camera has like 10 steps on you because, you know, just the quality. I mean, I used to always worry about that, like making a tape like, oh, the crowd was perfect. But then somebody dropped a glass in the back of the room. And it's just like you don't have to worry about that shit anymore. Just get like a wireless mic or
have
somebody tape it
you
for
can
you.
Get it for not very much.
Pay the $20 to get your buddy to film it or somebody in your town to do it. It definitely, and it kind of focuses you too, you know? Have you made, because you're doing this short set. I mean, you obviously had to like condense and work on some stuff.
Yeah, work on audio and listen to it again. Like, I can lose that.
What did you learn about that?
What, condensing and stuff?
Well, just doing shorter sets as opposed to like the special.
Oh, well, it's a different game. Giraldo always said that. He goes, it's not about, like, this is better, this is worse. It's a different game.
Yeah.
Doing the short set, doing 10-minute sets is a different... It's just sprinting as opposed to long. It's similar, but it ain't the same.
Right.
I will say this. One, I should say this. It's really cool that Comedy Central is doing an uncensored show.
Mm-hmm.
That they're finally saying, awesome. Yeah, just do comedy.
Right.
There's a bunch of people over there that are fucking cool, and they fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of people
that
Eric...
Not the people
that Ari used to
talk about. Yeah,
well, I mean, the ones I didn't know. I didn't know them. And then whatever they were getting, it's their old, like, whoever edited their stuff, Rick Mill Productions. He was a horrible editor.
Yeah.
He made everything so glossy and awful. But between Eric going there.
Jordy.
Fuck yeah. Jordy, Jonas, Dara, Ryan. There's a bunch of people that are like, have cool ideas.
Yeah. And we never got to see them much, like, in L.A. anyway.
No,
it seemed like a New York thing.
It's a New York thing.
And then now that Eric and Jordy are there.
Yeah.
Because I still haven't. I think I did one thing for them a long time ago, but.
And then I've met all the other ones too, Ann Harris and Grigioni. They're all cool people. They're all just cool, laid back people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sort of like into comedy.
Right. They're just kind of.
They just like comedy, but then they also have these out of their control that are like, we have advertisers or we have, you know, we have to do this or that.
Right.
We have mandates from that we can't say call to arm against the governments. We can't, we're not just not allowed to do that.
Well, it's the whole thing of like.
So they have to try to make the best they can with some rules.
Well, it's the creating stars instead of using people that are already good kind
of
thing.
There's that too, and it's hard. And
you're balancing
that. And I know I always wanted to like use me, but it's like I was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible. You should not have used me.
Right.
When I first started wanting Comedy Central, you were right not to take me.
And I have friends that they got Premium Blend and never got anything else.
Never got anything else.
They got the first 2 years probably before they were ready, and then they thought it was smooth sailing from there on out. And then I think my first TV spot was... Seven or 8 years in, but it was a network TV show. So it was like I would have definitely traded in that you know, premium blend spot to be able to do Ferguson.
And now I realize
times.
The only thing that really matters is the internet clip.
Right.
Way more people are going to see that.
Who's going to watch it?
Who's going to watch? That's why I want them to, like, let us have our internet clips.
Mm-hmm.
Let us put it on our own YouTube page. Let us do that. It's almost ridiculous that they won't. I get why they won't. It's not yours. Somebody's going to want it. And somebody else is going to want it for that. But it's like... When I remember Brody Stevens not being able to put his, I think, late Friday set on his YouTube, and they took it down.
Yeah.
Because whoever owned NBC was like, no. They were like, wait, you can't put your own set up on your own YouTube page?
Right.
I'm like, I get there's other reasons involved, but this act alone of you putting your own set on your YouTube page with all the NBC, you know, right. graphics on there, not taken out, that's wrong. That alone is wrong. It might be because of something else, but that's wrong.
But the whole thing is like, well, you, like, after all the advertising stuff came out with the internet, it's like, well, you should put it up so he's going to promote it for you, yeah, and people will watch it. Absolutely. So you just get views anyway.
Big J can't find his fucking Fallon anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he fucked around with Michael Vick and got some, like, some protests or whatever. It's no longer on the Fallon website. Now, maybe they're updating it, but I don't think they are.
I remember one of the times I did Ferguson, they still gave me a VHS tape.
Yeah. Did they really? Yeah, that's right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
can I get a DVD or at least a video, like a clip? Computer clip, yeah, that I can just put online? Because that's all I need it for. All I'm going to do is transfer a VHS tape.
You're making $45.
And then the last time I did it, some dude in Brazil put it on HD, and it was better than I could have even put it up. Oh, so he's still the link that I use on my website.
Oh, nice, yeah. Well, you should screen grab that and fucking use it.
Yeah, yeah, I did that afterwards, okay. But it's like...
Well, let's go to the Watch Us Attell taping. Where are you going to be? I think Big J's going tonight. I think Metzger's going tonight. I don't know who else.
That's awesome. Well, I got the Artie Lang thing, so they put the clips up immediately because they shoot that on DirecTV HD.
Any big dates coming? You're going to Montreux and Amsterdam with me.
Yes.
So you're going to meet me in Amsterdam afterwards. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the Anne Frank house. We're going to record an intro to the podcast.
We have to go to the Van Gogh Museum.
Van Gogh Museum, obviously. See the Freddie Mercury
statue in Switzerland.
Oh, that's in Montreux.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got like 2 days in the middle there where we can do something too, but
I'm going skiing.
But no, brother. What do you want to do the whole weekend in Amsterdam though? You just want to sightsee?
I don't think I want to fuck a hooker. I literally don't.
Well, you can do the bike tour and see the hookers, just ride your bike.
I want to see the peep shows and stuff. Yeah. I want to see them all. I want to go to the red light district.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to like, dude, once you can get laid, getting a hooker is like paying like, it's like paying $6 for a Coca-Cola.
Well,
like, what? I can just get this whenever I want.
And it's like they're literally standing in glass windows in front.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
And then there's like, because I'm kind of fascinated how it would work, but then...
I definitely want to try the weed, like all over.
Yeah, and there's one, you know, there's like the last hooker, and then there's just a guy who runs like an insurance office,
yeah,
and he's like just next to all the hookers, and
yeah,
every time he goes to work, he gets the hookers
he's
every
the
day.
He's the last of the zoning, that's right.
He got like the cheap rent. He's like, hey, as soon as you pass the third Latino,
but hey, I do a great accounting work. You only have to come here once a year, and I do a great accounting work the whole year long. Well, let's do a podcast from Amsterdam.
Yeah. Why not? Got to do it from the Anne Frank house.
I met that guy, Iso, Kevin Iso.
Oh, okay,
he
cool.
He was at LOL last night.
I heard from that Jessica girl and then Rob.
Rob Mayhew.
The guy from Canada.
Yeah, he's doing it too. I forgot about that.
And then the other guy's from Chicago, I think.
Mike Lebovich.
I haven't talked to him yet. But are you nervous about the show? Or what do you think about the
Well, they did ask
show?
Me. They're like, hey, would you like to present the award? Because it's technically a contest. Mm-hmm. I got Kevin Iso. I was like, what's the prize? I'm like, the prize is you already won. You get to go to Switzerland for fucking 3 days for free.
Yeah.
That's the prize. You already won. I don't care. They didn't even say what the prize is because it's probably a plaque.
Right.
But they asked me if I wanted to present it. I was like, absolutely. Because I don't like contests.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, I'll present it as that. I'm like, the idea of contests are silly.
Right.
We're all winners. You chose to name one guy. But really, we all win. Let's give a round of applause. Just comedy in general. Something like that. I'll have to write it.
Right.
And then, but technically, this guy wins. But let's get them all up here together. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just say that I refuse. I'll just let them all.
Something about rehearsals. So I'm wondering if...
That's because at festivals they take rehearsals. You have to go and be like, check. Yeah, that's good. That's all I need.
Oh, just I thought we'd get to like run through a set at a bar somewhere, like one of the other places maybe.
Possibly. I don't know.
That's what I was hoping, but...
Possibly.
Because, well, the big thing I got coming up is... I don't think you... You were around when I was doing that story reading show. I got a bunch of guys that are like authors, comedians.
No, I wasn't around.
Comedians and kind of comedy writers, guys who have published books. There's this guy, Carlos Kotkin, who he wrote this book called Please God Let It Be Herpes.
Yeah.
Because he hooked up with this chick and she said she had something that started with an H.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
It's all dating stories, but he wins all those moth story slam things. So
I want to do the moth one time.
Yeah, it's
I really
cool.
I want to.
Well, this is like actual, like, you're reading your story. So that guy, Steven Tobolowsky, the actor, He was in, he's the insurance guy in the Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Watch great. That first step. It's a doozy. So he's doing it. There's another guy from Deadwood, W. Earl Brown. And,
remember him.
He's the guy. He played the retarded guy and There's Something About Mary, the retarded brother.
They're all on that?
And Lori Kilmartin. They're all reading from their books.
Lori's cool.
So, yeah, like that's her. A Promenade Playhouse, January 12th. So
Promenade Playhouse in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Paul has a website.com. That's
and
it.
Your Alley-Oop Podcast.
Alley-Oop Podcast.
Send people there. Nobody really, I mean, websites are interesting and cool, but really, they're not going to really like, oh, let me look at all about him.
Right.
They're only going to go there once they find out. Just give them your podcast. I'll try a new podcast. With Artie Lang tonight, too. Same shit. Just give them your podcast.
Alley-Oop Podcast. So people
podcast like, this guy's funny. Let me Alley-Oop Podcast. Let me just check this right now. And then if they like that, which they will, then they'll be like, let me subscribe.
And should we shoot like a documentary for this trip or no? We should shoot like...
maybe a fun video or something.
I got a GoPro and I got the wireless mic. We should shoot some stuff.
Yeah, sure. Sucking off Freddie Mercury. Absolutely something.
No, I just want you bending over in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
People won't be as offended if you're not raping a statue.
Oh, right. If it's raping me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, good point. I was just standing here tying my shoes, and the statue came along.
Freddie would have wanted it this way.
He would have wanted it that way. All right. Does Dave Attell have any songs?
David who?
Dave Attell.
Attell.
Has he ever made a funny song or something? I'm telling you what I should go out with right now.
Oh, I don't know. He's got classic bits.
I can't just play a classic bit to go out with. No, I'm playing a song.
Do you want
to
play the Insomniac theme?
No, they're not using... maybe.
What? He sings that. That's him.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'll play.
Remember?
In honor of Dave Attell, from me recording this tonight or tomorrow, depending on when this comes out, I'll probably put it up tonight. Here's the Insomniac theme. Bye, everybody. Until next week. Sorry about the podcast that got deleted, but fucking people are afraid.
See you in Switzerland.
Night freak show, Jubilee, kick the Sandman in his sack.